Welcome to Flip the Library, Gwinnett County Public Library's podcast. And I'm Melissa Grimaud, Supervisory Librarian at Norcross.
And I'm Steve Thomas, Branch Manager at Collins Hill. And today we are speaking to staff who attended the 2019 American Library Association Annual Conference in Washington, D.C.
Hello, I'm Charles Pace. I'm the Executive Director of the Library, and I work at headquarters.
I'm Meg Wilson. I'm the Manager of the Norcross Branch.
My name is Madison Mosley, and I am a Library Associate at Lawrenceville.
My name is Dee Driver, and I'm the Marketing and Communications Manager at headquarters.
My name is Jenny Lajeunesse. I am the Technical Services Manager at headquarters.
Hi, I'm Sarah Martin, and I'm with Youth Services, based currently out of Grayson.
My name is Ashley Davenport, and I'm a Library Associate at the Suwannee Branch.
I'm Casey Wallace. I'm the training manager here at HQ for the whole system.
My name is Heather Smith. I am one of the supervisory librarians at the Collins Hill branch.
So the first thing we wanted to ask is, I know a lot of people have attended lots of other conferences before, but is this anybody's first conference that you've ever attended? A couple of hands.
Exciting.
Do you want to give your impression of your first conference?
So this was my very first conference with the library, and it was a wonderful experience. But not only was it my first conference, it was also my first time being on a plane, too. So that was fun.
Yeah, it was my first big conference as well, and I was my impression was just feeling sort of at awe with the scale of everything, how many people, how many exhibits, how many opportunities there were to learn more about library services.
So ALA is known for some pretty big speakers, famous people a lot of times coming in to promote their books. Were any of you able to attend any of the sessions with the feature speakers, like Jason Reynolds or Sonia Sotomayor, Carla Hayden, George Takei?
I went to the session with Dr. Carla Hayden and Eric Kleinenberg, who wrote Palaces for the People, How Social Infrastructure Can Help Fight Inequality, Polarization, and the Decline of Civic Life. It was incredibly inspiring to see Dr. Carla Hayden just kind of to be in her presence. And also, the topic was incredibly interesting. I never thought of libraries as kind of a catch-all, but it is. Libraries are the bedrock of society. And that's what Eric Kleinenberg was trying to get across with his book, Palaces for the People. He first started off his session by saying that the book was written after he had spent a year in branch libraries, and he said, "I understand the magic and also the struggle that happens in libraries every day, and so I don't want to say another word without saying I recognize it and appreciate it," which is nice to hear as someone who works in a library every day and as a non-librarian at a conference for librarians. But he spoke about how cities and local governments use libraries as a safety net for other social programs that are cut. And it gave me a new perspective on library services and the social impact of libraries.
I was actually able to see Angie Thomas and Tommy Adeyemi. I was able to see the both of them, and just hearing how they write the books that they write and what kind of triggered this this type of writing that they do actually was very inspiring. Both of them come from the same world, both of them minorities in their communities, and just trying to figure out how they can write these diverse books and help the younger generation cope and understand what's happening in their community was very fulfilling. And one thing that Angie Thomas said, when she writes, "You're either going to love my book or you're going to hate it, but either way, you're going to recognize that this is a problem in today's society."
I was lucky enough to hear Justice Sonia Sotomayor speak. I went just because I have a background in the law, and I thought, how often do you get to hear a Supreme Court justice speak and be in the same room with one? But I was really blown away by what an amazing and kind and interesting person that she was. So I was doubly glad to have gotten to hear her speak. And she has several children's books, so that's kind of in my field now. So that was interesting as well.
I also got to see Sonia speak, and I think what I found fascinating is the presence of her being there being kind of an indicator of the backdrop, of course, of Washington, D.C. And, you know, you have a guest speaker there talking about their children's book and talking about how great libraries are, and lined up around her are Secret Service people to make sure nothing happens. And it's just, you know, the fact that she could be targeted for something because she is part of our government, and, like, just the fact of her being there, the weight of it is a big deal, even if what she says is not particularly hard-hitting or provocative or anything. She really didn't go for any of that, which, you know, makes sense. She's a court justice, so, she's going to be pretty calm and, you know, probably trying to not go down that road. But it was really interesting to have that running in the background along with, you know, the setting we were in, and that kind of gave it a different feel than maybe some of the other authors.
I'll also just say I was able to hear Jason Reynolds speak as well, and I had never read anything by him, but I definitely want to now because he was a very energetic and charismatic speaker, which, of course, I'm sure his writing is equally as engaging. And he modeled his talk after his upcoming book, which was really interesting. So now I definitely want to read that work. But he had a really inspiring message about how libraries help voices be heard, that everyone has a voice, but unless someone gives them an outlet for that or they have a way to express that, they don't know how to do so, and how he saw libraries as being able to do that. And I really enjoyed that message that he had.
Thank you guys for sharing the speakers that you enjoyed. Now we're going to ask about what are the other sessions that you attended that you found it interesting. And I know that you had a lot to choose from.
So it's definitely true. We had so many sessions to choose from. And there were, you know, looking through the schedule, there are plenty of times when you had to make a tough choice whether to go to this session or that session that were both held at the same time. I attended several sessions on social workers in libraries, and they were almost all presented by the same panel of people, but the topics were slightly different in each one. That one's meaningful to me since we will be getting a social work intern at my branch later this year. And so it's my first time working with a social worker in a library, so I was very curious to hear how it's done. And each of the libraries represented there does it slightly differently. So it was a really good overview of how social workers are being used in libraries, what kind of work they do, how they're supervised, even, you know, nuts and bolts kinds of things that will be helpful as a manager of a branch with a social work intern. So the second one I went to, I kept thinking, you know, everyone's talking about their peer navigators, which are formerly homeless or addicted people who are now employed by the library to network with other people in need. And I'd love to start a program like that here someday. And I kept thinking, you really need to tell us more about that. And I had just, our session was coming to an end, and I had just written that on my evaluation when she said, and be sure to join us tomorrow for our session on peer navigators. So I went back to the drawing board on my schedule for the next day and crossed out whatever I had at 1 o'clock and went to the peer navigator one, and really got further inspired to do something similar here, you know, maybe not right away, but someday soon, I hope.
One of my favorite sessions that I was actually able to attend was all of the LMAO sessions, which is Library Marketing and Outreach. It was kind of interesting because there weren't a lot of things focused on marketing at ALA, the ALA conference, but these programs were, in these sessions, were only for people who were in the marketing field. So they had about 7 of them going on throughout the entire conference, and just learning about how to, like, do better storytelling with your social media, how to measure how much outreach that you have, and how to kind of coincide it with your social, and also how to make those stories come alive that you receive every day. And it kind of helps us with our upcoming campaign. So that was very beneficial for me on the marketing side.
When I went to the sessions that were about technical services, I found out that a lot of other public libraries of our same size are working on some of the same projects. And so it was nice to find out that I'm actually not alone in the universe. And now I've expanded my network of people who do the same thing that I do, and in some cases have already made mistakes before I even get to that point. So I like learning from their mistakes. I also like learning from some of their successes. And I hope that I, you know, have made some long-term friends so that I can go back and share my successes with them.
Being with youth services, I tried to attend everything I could that had to do with children and teens. There were mostly teen sessions, and so I got to go to some on trying to keep up with teen trends, approaching teen customers using an empathy-based approach, and things like writing boxes programs for children, using song lyrics to reach teens as, you know, lyrics as literature, and all kinds of things like that. So a lot of good, interesting ideas. I've taken a lot of notes that hopefully we can start implementing some of these ideas soon.
So one of the sessions that I attended was an orientation session for the new members roundtable. And I found that really insightful because as a first-timer to the organization and to the conference in general, they provided a lot of great tips on how to navigate the conference and any next steps if I was interested in the organization too.
Madison and I both ended up attending a breakout session updating library folk on what's the state of the census, basically, as it was a couple weeks ago.
Which is not the same as it is. It's different now.
Right. I mean, news happens. And so when we were sitting there in the, you know, it was interesting because it was kind of like, they were like, the census is busy, so you have us on the panel. And the people on the panel was a provost from Georgetown University.
Yes.
It was a journalist from NPR out of based in New York. And then is it MEDCLA is the organization?
Yes.
Which is a Hispanic legal justice organization of some kind. So there was a speaker of each one of those aspects. Just updating everybody on some of the controversies, some of the struggles that they're going through with the census right now. And then they offered one or two silver linings. So basically, the perfect storm that's happening right now is, of course, the fact that the census has always been problematic since day one of its inception eons ago, when they decided, should we just count heads of who's in the country or should we actually ask questions? And ever since they decided to ask questions, it's just been a football tossed around for problems. So that's always been problematic. In addition to that, right now are the current day issues with controversies about the citizenship question, which there's been news developments right now about that. But there's also a change to the ethnicity question. And I think that is going through, but you'll have to verify that, where people can write in an additional descriptor of their ethnicity. So if you wanted to say you were white Irish, you can do that. So it's just sort of like self-tagging of what you are. So they told us about a little bit about the controversies with the questions. It started out with 6 course cases distilled down into 3 that we're still, you know, kind of having issues with. And the concern is that even with all the struggle, even if the court cases get dismissed, it's going to result in an undercount of people, which does not do justice to the census. And the census is not an optional thing. That was the other thing that they wanted to hammer home. It's something that's hard-coded in our Constitution. The government has to do one, and we have to participate. It's not like a opt-out thing, and which creates, again, more controversy. So,
well, and this year is the first year where it's going to be mostly digital, and one thing they tried to drive home is that libraries are going to be the front line of the census in 2020 because we provide computer and internet access for a lot of people who don't have that at home and need it to fill out the census. Mm-hmm. There is a way to get a paper form. However, it is much easier for a person to go to their local library to fill out the census.
And there may be questions that people bring to staff members. The silver lining that they offered was, you know, even though there are all these national problems with the census, including stretch deadlines. These arguments about the questions mean that they're up against their deadline to publish the final document. The job market is different. So the qualifications of the people taking the jobs of the census workers, it's not as strong as it was the last time they had it. This is coming from their mouths, not necessarily me. That, you know, they're kind of worried about their workforce not being as strong to get the word out. But what they do have is a lot of investment on hyperlocal, getting word of mouth, explaining what the census is, and trying to put a big push on organizations like the library, to provide accurate information to the public as to what's expected for the census and what it is. So that's especially why we would want to pay attention to that right now as staff people, because in order for it to be done correctly, people have to understand what it is. And hopefully they will participate and they will be, you know, this affects representation. This shapes the government and how many representatives they get. And if it's underreported or even reported the exact same way it was before, you're getting a smaller slice of the pie than maybe, you know, you need in order to, you know, be successful going forward. So those are just some of the things that'll come up if, you know, they're not successful with the census. So I don't know. Did you hear anything in addition to those points that you thought were particularly important for staff to know?
You did a really good job. That was basically the session.
I paid attention to that session.
Something that they did say was the Obama administration. So this is the second census after the Patriot Act. And the Obama administration did come out and say at the time of the last census that they believe that census data is beyond the reach of the Patriot Act. And there are different watchdog groups now that are in the process of forming to make sure that census data is still private mm-hmm. and secure from interference.
That's right, because part of the additional complication with the census is not only has it always been problematic, but in World War II it was used badly. It was used to affect an ethnic group. So a law was passed to make your individual identifying information confidential for 75 years. It's under lock and key for 75 years. So what the Obama administration did is try to allay fears around the census that the Patriot Act does not, override that confidentiality. We have not gotten those reassurances from the follow-up administration, and that's the contention right now, among other things. And even just having the contention out there results in underreporting, and so it doesn't even have to win the day, it just makes it cloudy for everybody else. So that's kind of what we're up against, what they're up against, and it does affect civics, it does affect, you know, history being made right now, and you know, we don't want to get all riled up about it, but we just want to be informed, and we want to be at least an accurate point of information that if people are concerned, you know, that we at least know kind of the ins and outs of what's going on right now. So if you do pay attention to current events, this is a good thing to pay attention to. This is a good horse race to watch.
Yeah.
So hopefully you will take an interest in that and keep tabs on it.
On a lighter note, I didn't get to a session right before I left on the last day about genrefying children's nonfiction, and got to see some examples from other public libraries where they had already done some similar findability projects as what we're gearing up for this year. And I found a few good ones to copy, like a make-believe section in the easy book section, so I'm pretty excited about some of that.
I also went to a session about providing library services to people with dementia that I found incredibly relevant. 1 in 3 seniors die with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, and with the baby boomer population aging, it's something that we're going to see a lot more of. By 2050, the number of people living with Alzheimer's is expected to grow to 14 million, which is huge. So it was interesting gathering tips on how to approach people who may have dementia, people who may be lost, who don't know exactly why they're, maybe they don't know why they're in the library or how they got there. So something I took away that I think it's that I think is important for other people to know is that if you think that you're talking to someone who might have memory loss or memory issues, it's good to ask direct questions that you would get a yes or no answer from. Don't ask open-ended questions. So this is also important to me personally because my grandmother has dementia. And so it was beneficial both personally and professionally because now I know how to approach her and customers who have dementia. Also, you can become a dementia friend at dementiafriends.org, and they have a specific video for librarians on how to provide services to people with dementia.
One of the most interesting or resonating sessions that I went to was called Civility, It's More Than Just Being Nice, which as a relatively new supervisor was very interesting to me because the presenters talked about civility versus incivility and how many gray areas might pop up surrounding those issues. So it was really interesting to hear them discuss civility as empathy, respect, and consideration of others, which seems really straightforward and obvious, but they discussed how a lot of the personnel issues they've encountered involve people who thought that, well, I greet people every day and I say hello and I ask them how their family is and I'm generally a nice person, but they don't understand how sometimes they don't always give people the benefit of the doubt, or maybe they don't express the most consideration for their coworkers, and so that involves creating other issues later down the road that maybe build up over time. So it was just an interesting perspective on workplace culture and how coworkers treat one another. And as a new supervisor, I just found that to be extremely beneficial.
So thank you everyone for sharing. That was quite a variety of topics. And since you shared which sessions you love to attend, we also like to ask if there's anyone who led a session.
Well, I presented on a couple of panels. One was dealing with the open access system, so I did that as part of a panel for Biblioteca. We had probably about 120 people. And then I also was part of a panel for Baker & Taylor talking about the Penn Foster educational product. So that was good. It was interesting to see everyone there and to hear some of the questions that they had.
I was on a panel discussion invited by the author, Carrie Banks, from the Brooklyn Public Library. She's written a book that was just published in June called Gardens and Libraries. And so she talked about our Homegrown Gwinnett project several times throughout her book. And so there were two other panelists. One was from the National Institutes of Health, who have their headquarters in Annapolis, and they have a big garden there. And then another one was from, I think, San Jose, California, somewhere in California. And they have soil gardens on site on some of their branches, and they do community gardens and donations to address food insecurity issues, similar to the way we do with our tower gardens. So I spoke about the Homegrown Gwinnett project, and then we had questions and answers at the end, and lots of people stayed after to ask questions, so felt like it was a pretty good session.
I got to be part of a panel that talked about changes in technical services. It was a panel that I did with a couple of Georgia Tech librarians and also the consultant that worked with our library more than a year ago. And we all got to stand up and talk about leading changes in technical services. And I'm proud to say that I got to share good results with a room full of technical services librarians, many of whom were public librarians who may not have found a lot of sessions to attend that were relevant to public library technical services at ALA. It was very academic, you know, so I was happy to share. And they all stayed until the end. I was so happy.
So other than what you guys have already talked about, is there anything in particular that you learned that you think you're going to be able to bring back to improve your work at GCPL?
One of the things that I took back from ALA was going to some of the different marketing and communication sessions. And there's like three major things that really had a huge impact on my professional career in the library world. Storytelling, like I said earlier, like how to get that story and pull at the heartstrings of our community. Creating different briefs for campaigns. And then also one of the most important things that I took back was how to write a news release or a media release that will captivate not only your community, but the communities of others. So that was something that I took back because I know how to write a news release, but to get the national news to pull it into their realm and things like that. So that was something that I took back, and they gave us a whole lot of different pamphlets and templates that we were able to utilize in our own branches. So I would definitely be passing that on to the marketing department.
Well, I don't know if it's really something that will improve our work, but I did learn some from a couple of our colleagues about some other products that we were considering that had some deficiencies that we weren't aware of. So I think it's more a case of rather than improving our work, it's avoiding potential mistakes and problems, which I think is equally important. So it's caused us to kind of recalibrate and rethink about a couple of things, services that we were thinking about purchasing. But, you know, I think that's equally value to something that actually improves our work.
So sort of along that line of learning about products and learning from your colleagues of that kind of thing, did anybody get to learn anything new from just going around the exhibit hall of talking to vendors, seeing various products on display, things like that?
Yes. So Google had an exhibit there, and I have used Google to teach coding, and I did a few coding camps and Hour of Code, but they have a new project called Smart, Alert, Strong, Kind, Brave, Be Internet Awesome. And basically what it is digital safety and citizenship curriculum. And they encourage teachers, libraries, other educators to teach children and adults on how to be a digital citizen. And I'm looking forward to hosting a program using their software to teach adults and children, because we see it every day in the branches. People need help navigating how to be a digital citizen.
You know, when I go around the exhibit hall, of course, at this stage, I look a lot at in terms of furniture and things for branches. So I did see some things that were interesting in terms of new design for library furniture, pieces that could go in children's spaces. There was one company that had trees which are made out of metal, which should look like an actual tree, but they're actually fabricated from metal, so that was interesting. Of course, I talk with my usual standby vendors about what they have going on. It's always good just to be refreshed on the latest in terms of technology trends, software, database resources, and things of that nature.
Several of you have already talked about this, but we're going to ask if any of you have made any new connections or met any interesting library professionals, because ALA is also a great place to network.
At the Mingo Languages event, I got to meet a few of the public librarians from DC's public library, and I also got to meet just many different librarians in general at that event. It was a good way to not only socialize, but get to see what they're doing in their libraries, too.
I met a librarian from a system in Colorado who is a business librarian at her public library, which means that when people in her community want to start a new business, they come to her and she helps them navigate that process. And one of her colleagues does the same thing with nonprofits. So that was kind of interesting. I hadn't even considered those types of jobs in the library. I also got to talk to some other youth services people and learn their ideas around SRP and how they, you know, what prizes they choose or how they advertise it. So those are definitely some ideas that we can maybe try to explore here.
I got to meet my three marketing library crushes.
So I got to meet the marketing department for Houston Public Library, Nashville Public Library, as well as New York. And it was at the ULC Marketing Forum. And just to meet them and kind of have those conversations, like, how are you doing this? And, like, how is the public reacting to it? And how are you doing it internally as well as externally was great. I feel like they're, like, my best friends now. I gave one of them a hug. So it was really beneficial.
I met some librarians from Gainesville, Florida, who were extremely excited about the Findability Project and want to come visit us after we have completed the project. And it was really great talking to other people from different library systems who are excited about this project.
I met a couple of colleagues that I've spoken with over the phone or via email, but I've hadn't actually had a face-to-face meeting with, so I spent some time with the director of the Palm Beach County Library in Florida, the Kent District Library in Michigan, and his assistant, as well as some other colleagues from around the country. It's always good to kind of put a name to the face and make a personal connection with these people. I think that, just for me, ALA at my stage in my career is mostly about networking. I mean, that's really the main reason that I go, is to network with colleagues, to talk to vendors, and to find out what the latest trends and tendencies are in the library profession as a whole. So that's kind of the core of what I do. Most of my time is spent meeting with colleagues or meeting with vendors. And that's really the benefit that I derive from going to the ALA conference.
It sounds like everybody had a pretty good time at the conference. So what would you say to your colleagues to encourage them to attend a conference in the future?
Well, I would definitely encourage anyone who is interested in attending one of these conferences to go and try it out. Even if you're not one who feels comfortable going up to people you don't know and networking and introducing yourself and exchanging contact information, it's just extremely useful to see what other library systems are doing, what's going on in the library world, what are people talking about, is any of it new, have you heard of it before, are they things that we did 2 years ago. It's just interesting to see what other people, not just what they're doing, but what they think about other things that are going on, even outside of the library world. It just really opens your mind to what else is out there and what else is possible here as well.
I would encourage everyone to go to the conference if you get the opportunity, because it's a great way, as we've said, to network, to see the depth and breadth of the profession, to find out what the latest trends are in library programs and services, but also just to be in the company of your colleagues from around the country, to have people that share a similar worldview, a similar purpose, a similar goal to what you do. So I think it's a great educational opportunity. If ALA is a little too overwhelming, there are smaller conferences, there are state conferences, there's PLA, which will be held in Nashville next year, so it's not too soon to start thinking about putting in your name for that, if anyone's interested. But there are lots of opportunities, and we're fortunate here at GCPL to be able to offer conference attendance and training opportunities for our staff.
I think no matter where you are in your career, going to a big national conference can be really useful. If you're just starting out, it's going to give you a terrific overview of all the different kinds of topics that your field is facing. And same thing, if you've been in the field for 20 or 30 years, you have an opportunity to, I think, explore things that are of specific interest to you in your current position, but also, things that might not have occurred to you, to explore or learn about previously. So I was extremely impressed with the diversity and the types of sessions you could choose from. There was an hour or two here and there where I didn't really find a session I was interested in, but it was much more common to find two or three sessions than I had to choose from among those.
Not only is it a chance to meet new librarians from all over the country, but it's also a good chance to experience professional development in person. Because I know here we get to do webinars as a part of our professional development, but it's also great to have that connection in person with other people too.
This year, our ALA was held at our nation's capital. Did anyone take advantage of the location? And it looks like quite a few did. So share.
One of the things I thought was interesting is the schedule pulled in sites that from around the city that made it part of the agenda. So, like, the Library of Congress was all over it, and also the Native American Museum. And I didn't really know what to expect going into that particular exhibit, probably because of my own ignorance. That's probably first case. But what I thought they did very well is they took a lot of controversial, possibly, or difficult or not happy information, you know, events and things like that. And they were able to lay it out in such a way that it was very provocative without being inflammatory. And it was very taking dense material, like unpacking a law that was written 100 years ago and highlighting sections of it and making it into like almost an infographic wall size as to what sections were stretched beyond what was, you know, fair or just or whatever. They also went through the costs of certain decisions that were made, both projected and them going beyond budget and things like that. Just twists and turns of history, of the unforeseen consequences and the foreseen consequences. The players at the time that certain laws were written, of pro and con, and where they came from that. And it was really interesting because you kind of wish that all of our decisions could be laid out like that. But it was also interesting to see an information agency take a difficult topic, or what could turn into a difficult topic, and kind of put it out there so it provokes critical thought. And that's what you hope subjects like our fake news program does, or things like that. So if there are other topics that we're thinking about doing, it was a good example to see of how to kind of unpack that in a way that allows that space for thinking and not necessarily telling. And I like that. So that was something that, because of the setting, allowed for that. I thought that was a good thing to see.
Well, I had never been to Washington, D.C., so I had a little added treat of getting to see a new city in addition to the professional development aspect of the conference. So I did a lot of things really quickly. I basically just saw how much I could squeeze into 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. every night. So I got to, you know, walk around the National Mall and see all the monuments. I got to go to a few of the Smithsonian museums. I did get to go to the Capitol and the Library of Congress. So that's another great benefit of going to some of these conferences. You get to go to a new place and experience a new part of our country that maybe you've never been to before, which is beneficial in and of itself, not just as a librarian, but as a person. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it as well.
So the Saturday of the conference was also Solstice Saturday, where the Smithsonians had extended hours for some of their museums. So it was an opportunity for me to visit the National Air and Space Museum, as well as the African American Museum. And from what I heard from colleagues at other events at the conference, the African American Museum's pretty hard to get into normally, so I was really glad that I got to experience that museum.
I was able to go to the Botanical Gardens and also to the Native American History Museum. Of course, I can't 100% shed my work cap, so I visited the Children's Garden and the Children's section of those museums so I can borrow ideas that they might have for working with kids.
I did manage to take off my work cap for a few hours and toured the National Mall all by myself on a really sunny afternoon and took some super awkward selfies, if anyone is interested.
I actually was able to, I joined this group called the hashtag Black Librarians. So I was actually able to go with them to the African American Museum and have a private guided tour, which was amazing. Eventually I left them because they talked a lot. I wanted to kind of, it's one of those places where you kind of want to, you just need to be by yourself, like, and just focus on what's happening. So after that happened, then we went to the Frederick Douglass House, like the house that he had when he lived in Washington, D.C. So that was amazing. And then we also went to the Beyoncé Shrine, which might not seem like a big deal, but it is. And it was just pictures of Beyonce. There was a statue and everything. And across the street from it was the Martin Luther King Jr. statue. So it's kind of weird. But I loved it. It was like African American history. Threw up right there. So that was amazing. But going to the African American Museum was one of the highlights. It's on my bucket list. And like I said earlier, you go to a conference and you also go to this city where you may have never been before, or you have and you can't get into these places, and you're given the opportunity to walk into the African American Museum for a private guided tour and see Beyonce. Like, I mean, it's Beyonce. So that was awesome.
I think my favorite thing we did in the city was the Library of Congress evening, where they actually shut the Library of Congress early just so ALA attendees could come in. And then the LC staff were out there all in their matching t-shirts so that you could ask questions, and they were showing off special artifacts. Of course, you know, we got to see the Gutenberg Bible and a lot of other archival stuff that was really cool. And it was just so much fun and so hysterical to see so many librarians geeking out completely, but nobody laughing at anybody else because they were all doing the same thing. And my favorite part of it was actually the old card catalog room, which they were giving away cards from the card catalog, which I took a stack of. And but apparently they have so many of these things that they also use them for a doorstop to the door to the card catalog room. And that made me laugh. So it was a lot of fun. That was my favorite one.
The private event for ALA attendees at the Library of Congress was also my favorite. And if you had gotten there early enough, you got to have your picture taken with Carla Hayden, which I did not get there early enough. And it's something that I'm going to regret for probably the rest of my life. But also, they let us into the reading room, and they let us take pictures, which you're not allowed to take pictures in the reading room, but they let us do it. And I got to stand behind the reading room desk and pretend like I work there, which was pretty awesome.
So we're pretty much close to ending it exactly on time, but did anyone have any final words, anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't touch?
I just wanted to say that so many of the librarians and library workers I met at ALA were shocked that Gwinnett had sent so many people to the conference, and they were impressed. And as a library associate, it's amazing to have these opportunities for professional development. And, you know, I'm in school. I got to meet people from my school in Michigan, there in DC. It was such an incredible opportunity, and I feel grateful that Gwinnett is invested in sending people of all levels to this conference.
Coming from corporate world and coming into a library and only knowing about books, I was extremely shocked at this conference and how much it made sense for people in my field to actually attend. If you're working with any type of library, if it's public or academic, I really feel like this is very important for you to attend, just because I had no idea how crazy librarians get in a good way. I had no idea. It wasn't not crazy in a bad way, in a good way. Like, they were so passionate about everything that they do and all the new technologies that are coming and how you know, and just thinking about what I've been hearing, like how the library is dying off and things like that, and then going to this huge conference where all these librarians are so passionate about their work and they're progressive in what they do, and coming from a marketing standpoint of it, it was extremely beneficial. So even if you're not a librarian or you don't, you know, really aren't really in that field, but you work inside of a library, this is something that you should definitely go to. And I feel like I want to attend every single year for the rest of my life and get a whole bunch of swag, because it was awesome.
So I also want to enthusiastically encourage anybody who hasn't gone to ALA or any of the library conferences to apply next year if you're interested, because not only will it grow you as a librarian here at GCBL, but it will grow you as a person, because like me, I'd never flown on a plane before, but I had been to DC. But just in meeting all the different people and seeing all the authors, it would be a wonderful experience.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. And thank you for attending the conference. And thank you for bringing back your knowledge and your information that you got there and sharing it with the rest of the staff through the podcast.